Politics now, and the earlier budget date in September means the pre-budget spin and speculation is already getting into full swing in August. The big challenge, of course, in the budget this year, the cost of living crisis. Let's talk about all of this now with Daniel McConnell, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Anya.
So the speculation, so far we seem to have the 30% tax rate. That's unlikely. There's a row about perhaps increasing unemployment payments or postponing carbon tax.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, we are very much into the run into the budget. Officials are sort of back at their desks that little bit earlier because of that earlier budget. And ultimately, you know, the options that are now sort of that were sort of raised in the taxation strategy papers last week are now sort of being fleshed out and discussed in more considerable detail. I think that the horns of the dilemma for the government is the options of whether or not they try and spread the money across a range of headings and trying to give a little to everybody. And I suppose the charges, if they do that, then they really make no difference to anybody. Or do they commit to one big bang or a couple of major measures? And ultimately, you know, a lot of charity groups have said that, you know, particularly in terms of the welfare package, you know, you will need to see increases of between €17 and up to €23 a week to just stand still because of the impact of inflation. Now, the government are saying if to do that, you're committing to well over €1 billion to do that. And that obviously would limit your movements elsewhere. And what you're seeing also as well is this kind of battle behind the scenes between the coalition parties. Obviously, there's a sense within Fine Gael that if you were to increase the social welfare and the job seekers allowance in line with the social welfare increases that are likely, then you further disincentivize people from going into the workforce at a time when, you know, there are distinct labour shortages, particularly in lower paid jobs, i.e. the service industry and the hospitality sector. So that's a battle that will play out in the coming days and weeks. I think it's fair to say the 30% tax rate is losing steam or has sort of gone into the sand a little bit and is unlikely to go ahead. They're looking at other options in terms of indexing of tax bands, etc. like that, to try and offset or stop people going into the higher rate. But as I said, you know, the cost of living will dominate the budget agenda going in, because we know that there's a €6.7 billion package for 2023, but there will be this additional package for once-off measures which they'll try to roll out before the end of the year. So there's a sizable amount of money on the table. It just depends on what the government decide to do.
And the other thing we can expect to hear a lot about politically in the weeks ahead, housing, the latest flashpoint, obviously student accommodation, and the impact on refugees who have to move out of student accommodation.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, the government has very much said it will not put a cap on the numbers coming in from Ukraine and elsewhere, and that causes its own difficulties, and it's really coming to the head. And I think there was that very stark image in my local area here in Drumcondra, you know, where you had over 100 people queuing outside a very modest rental property here, which just goes to show that there's such a scarcity of supply here in an area that obviously would serve the DCU campus quite strongly traditionally. So there are real issues here, and Dara O'Brien and his housing department, you know, are now coming under increased pressure, because what we've heard from him since taking office is, you know, the Housing for All plan will deliver. But I suppose what is happening now is that promise of delivery is not coming through, and, you know, supply is still way behind where it needs to be. And the bigger problem, and a lot of people are beginning to kind of realise this, is that the time it's taking between commissioning state build projects and them actually being delivered is just really, really long. Mm-hmm. Like, so I was out at a property with Dara O'Brien and Ballantyre in recent months, and it was 9 years between commencement and delivery. And people are making the point, well, if that's the length of time it's going to take, we're going to be in this sort of dilemma for an awful long time. Notwithstanding, yes, commencements are up, but, you know, that shortage of supply is really biting. And obviously, you know, Simon Harris yesterday saying that the refugees who are now currently in student accommodation will be moved out on a phased basis. We don't really have an answer as to where those people are going to go once they are moved out of that student accommodation.
And finally, Daniel, the other political story of the week, Robert Troy, the junior minister, and his property dealings. Is he out of hot water?
I don't necessarily think he's fully out of hot water yet. I think, you know, it's the classic case of, you know, his failure to shut this story down. What we've seen is a succession of mini revelations around his failure to disclose his property dealings, you know, which would seem or appear to be on the surface not to be in line with the CIPRO, the Standard and Public Office rules. Now, Robert Troy has come out and admitted, listen, yes, there was a lapse of judgment here or a misunderstanding of the rules here about not declaring it. But what we've seen are, you know, ongoing revelations emerging. You know, he's had the vote of confidence from his coalition colleagues. You know, so I don't think we're anywhere near a space of resignation or even his position being under pressure. But if we're still talking about this in 4 or 5 days' time, then that may be a different situation, because, you know, ultimately it's not necessarily the crime that you know, the initial sort of issue that gets you into trouble. It's about how you deal with it and how you account for it. And Robert Troy, in fairness to him, has given repeated statements to the media, but yet we're seeing continued revelations come out. So, as I say, he's not sort of in the immediate firing line just yet. But there is a wider question here, Anya, about, you know, SIPO and the powers that SIPO have. And what we saw in their annual report a couple of weeks ago was they made or highlighted over 50 recommendations about giving them more powers and strengthening the transparency around this very matter, not being moved for many years. A lot of those recommendations have been kind of on their books for over 10 years and, you know, have fallen on deaf ears from government. So there is a move, or there certainly is a clear gap in what needs to happen in terms of the transparency and the accountability and what the government and what politicians have been willing to actually put in place. So there is an open question there about, you know, the rules and the regulations around this, and that, you know, what is suitable in a modern age when, you know, there really is that kind of crisis of confidence in the public system.
Well, thank you for talking to us about it all this morning. That's Daniel McConnell there, political editor with the Irish Examiner.